One of the final bills for the 2026 Iowa legislative session was all about animal abuse. David Blom, District 52 representative, talks about how the bill creates harsher penalties for animal abuse.
What it really does is it brings Iowa in line with other states to make sure that animal torture is a felony on the first offense. And when I was at the annual banquet for the Animal Rescue League, I got to meet Officer Morrison. Having conversations with him really underscored the importance of giving law enforcement the tools necessary to hold people accountable.
This bill raises the first act of animal abuse up to a felony.
If it's the third felony, you're going to have your seven-year mandatory minimum kicking in right away. But the standard penalty for a Class D felony is up to five years in prison and fines included.
House File 2348 was signed by Governor Kim Reynolds and will officially take effect July 1st of this year. On Friday, KFJB finally caught up with new executive director for the Marshalltown Area United Way, Debbie Collins.
I grew up in Chicago, and I went to Western Illinois University. I stayed there and had my kids. My oldest son decided to go to college at Ames. He met the love of his life, and she's a local here from Marshalltown. And they told me I was going to be a grandma, and so that was what kickstarted my drive to come here.
Collins has always been giving back to her community. She feels that she's a good fit to work with those who are struggling or looking for a little support.
I just really like to give back to the community. I grew up a little bit poorer, have some history of my own without the resources that we needed at the time. And so I was really invested in the resources and communities and how they come together. And I saw the United Way job opening, and I thought, that sounds like a great job.
Collins has worked in nonprofit and had to do some fundraising previously.
I did work with other agencies that raised money for us, and we were able to bring in $70,000 at that event.
Collins is drinking from a water hose this month as she learns the people in the community, meets her partner agencies and board members, and all that Marshalltown has to offer. She officially moved to town earlier this month. The Marshalltown Senior Citizen Center has a lot of events that's geared towards seniors, but not all of their events. They have a live concert happening this week, and it's open to everyone. Nikki Reynolds, Senior Citizen Center Executive Director, says they have Bernie Young playing on Tuesday from 1 to 2.
Just come in, listen to some music for an hour. Bring lunch if you want to, gather, socialize before and after. Good time.
This event is open and free for all. Reynolds also talks about another event that's open to everyone, their upcoming fundraiser, Trivia Night.
We are having our Trivia Night fundraiser at the Senior Center May 30th, so that's Saturday. It will start at 6.
Reynolds says it costs $10 a person to register, and teams consist of people up to 6 people. She says there will be some silent auction items available to bid on as well. The first place team will win $100 and second place wins $50. Reach out to Reynolds at the Senior Citizen Center to get registered. Last Friday was the first Live After 5 concert in downtown Marshalltown. People may have seen the band shell out near the Cartwright Farmers Market next to Big 8 Tire. Grand Marshall played the first show on Friday, but there's more to come this summer.
June 12th will also be hosted at the Cartwright Pavilion, and it will be exit 185. July 17th will hopefully return to the new event plaza in downtown, and that will be the band Kick. And then on August 7th, we will have Inner Light.
That's Marshalltown Central Business District Executive Director Danielle Leakin, announced before the event on their Facebook page. Home Rental Center and Sales Company donated the drink coolers for the event. You can find all the details of their upcoming Live After 5 concerts on the Marshalltown Central Business District, a Main Street Community Facebook page. The National Weather Service has sent out an update this morning about the storms moving across Iowa this evening. The entire state, except for the northwest corner, is at a level 2 or greater risk. The level 3 area starts in the southwest corner of the state and moves northeast to Waterloo, encompassing majority of the south and central part of the state. The level 3 risk includes damaging wind, potential tornadoes, large hail, and heavy rains. The National Weather Service projects the storm to begin around 6 p.m. tonight in the southwest corner, will begin moving northeast across the state. Tornadoes are most likely to occur in the southwest corner of the state. Damaging winds is likely everywhere in central Iowa. Stay weather aware with Alert Iowa or by visiting weather.gov. A few thousand athletes with intellectual disabilities from all across the state will gather in Ames this week for the Special Olympics Iowa Summer Games. Here's spokeswoman Megan Phillippe.
It's our largest competition of the whole year. So we have competitions year-round, but our summer games is our biggest one. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, May 21st through the 23rd at Iowa State.
The three-day event will gather a sizable group on the Iowa State campus.
We have about 2,500 athletes and unified partners that compete, and then another 2,000 volunteers and 1,500 or so spectators and coaches and chaperones.
Phillippe says the athletes will be taking part in a range of different sports over the 3 days.
We have tennis, bocce, cycling, track and field, developmental events, and then most of the competitions run from about 9 to 3 on Thursday and Friday, and then about 9 to 1 p.m. on Saturday morning.
The opening ceremonies on Thursday night will include a parade of athletes, awards and recognition, and a torch will be used for the lighting of the cauldron. You can find more information and see a complete schedule at soiowa.org. The number of high school students who are also taking community college courses at the same time, called joint enrollment, continues to rise in Iowa. Joint enrollment comprised of 47% of all headcount enrollment at community colleges, which is a 2% increase from last year. Students only need to be enrolled in one class to be part of that headcount enrollment. In total credit hours, joint enrollment is about 32% of the statewide credit hours. High school students participating has jumped nearly 20,000 since 2010, when about 38,000 high school students were participating in joint enrollment. Nearly 58,000 students participate in a program now. The lobbying effort continues for federal funding of a project that'll keep the Iowa Air National Guard's refueling wing operating out of Sioux City. The runway was designed for F-16s, but in 2003, the pilots based in Sioux City began flying massive refueling tankers. The FAA says the runway will soon be unsafe and needs to be replaced. Sioux Lynn Chamber of Commerce President Chris McGowan says it's good news the U.S. House passed a bill last week that includes $38.5 million for the project.
However, this project in total will require approximately $200 million. So while we're grateful and optimistic, we still have a long way to go.
McGowan says the focus now shifts to the U.S. House, where Iowa Senators Joni Ernst and Chuck Grassley may be able to convince their fellow senators to approve a higher amount for the project.
And then the House and Senate would have to meet to reconcile any differences. So our hope is that $38.5 million could grow substantially.
McGowan notes the Iowa legislature recently approved $10 million in state funding for the Iowa Air National Guard's runway
to also help underwrite this critically important project.
The Federal Aviation Administration has also set aside $20 million for the runway, but that funding will be lost if the Pentagon doesn't start the project by mid-2027. Iowa motorists who want to avoid the high stress of traffic-packed interstates during Memorial Day weekend, we have some tips from AAA Iowa just around the corner.
At Marshalltown Community School District, students don't just prepare for the future, they shape it. Embrace the lead. From academic excellence to college and career readiness, our schools support every student's journey. With strong student support, a wide range of extracurricular opportunities, engaging fine arts programs, and hands-on learning experiences, there's something here for everyone. Marshalltown Community School District, where they embrace the lead to ensure success tomorrow.
We're at 73. We do have cloudy skies, and be sure to keep an eye to the sky. Looks like could get bumpy later on this evening. Let's go ahead and go back to our newsroom with Zach.
Iowa motorists want to avoid the high stress of traffic-packed interstates during the upcoming Memorial Day holiday might consider changing up their departure time if they can be flexible. AAA Iowa spokesman Brian Ortner says the Motor Club's research helps to determine what windows of time would be the most hectic for highway travel versus some better options.
From lunchtime till about 9 p.m. is going to be your busiest time on Thursday of Memorial Day weekend. Friday. If you hit the road early on Friday morning, you're definitely going to beat some of the increased traffic. And the same on Saturday. If you can hit the road earlier in the morning, you'll avoid those higher levels of concentration between noon and 5.
Projections show traffic congestion will be the heaviest both Thursday and Friday between 3 and 6 p.m., so Ordner says avoid those times if possible. For the return trip, he also suggests shifting your departure hour.
We all like to enjoy that extra day off, but if you can hit the road earlier on Monday before 10 a.m. to beat the higher levels of traffic, that's going to be beneficial. But if you're able to leave later in the day, that after 5 p.m. time frame on Monday will be to your advantage.
Monday's busiest times are expected to be between 3 and 6 p.m., while Sunday should be the holiday weekend's lightest day for traffic. National and state environmental organizations are suing the EPA over last year's decision to remove 7 sections of Iowa rivers from the impaired waters list. Parts of the Cedar, Des Moines, Iowa, and Raccoon rivers were removed from the list used to identify bodies of water that don't meet water quality standards. The waterways taken off the list are all used for drinking water and have long-standing water quality issues, including nitrate contamination from farm runoff. The DNR is asking for the rivers to be added back to the list, or at least an explanation for why they were removed. The annual report on the state's 15 community colleges is out. Department of Education Community Colleges Bureau Chief Amy Gasicki says enrollment this past year was more than 123,000 students,
which is an uptick of 3.1% over the previous year. And if you'll recall in our fall enrollment report, fall enrollment had showed that we were up above pre-pandemic levels again. When looking at the entire academic year, we are still slightly below pre-pandemic levels.
The numbers show that 90% of community college students are Iowa residents and just under 20% are considered full-time.